Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We have Harley and Kim from Nashville with us. We have a few other visitors that I haven't had a chance to meet. We'd like to welcome you, and we're glad that you came to worship God with us on this day. Glad to see Frieda up and around. I'll tell you, she's, I think, walking faster than she was before her surgery. So that's glad to see her back. What kind of numbskull would name a sermon Lighthouses and Tugboats? Something we see so often here in the middle of the Mojave Desert. Something that, you know, something that we just look out our windows on a regular basis and see, you know, every day in our lives. I was in California not too long ago and saw a beacon on the coast, and it just got me thinking, and that's kind of how this fragile mind goes and develops. But I'm sure every one of us have seen either in movies or, you know, those of you, I know Jory's living in Michigan up there on the Great Lakes. I'm sure he's seen lighthouses and so forth. And I know, Nana, you used to live up in New England, and I picture a lot of lighthouses and so forth up there. But we're going to look at lighthouses and tugboats today, and hopefully at the end we will see how it kind of ties in to Christianity. I hope that's the goal. Lighthouses are beacons, and they help ships avoid dangerous areas. They're a lot of times in rocky coastlines. Sea captains and so forth, they see that light, and they know that in that area, one, it's on land and you're getting close, and there's exposed areas and you've got to be very careful. And the lighthouses do that. They're on to help the ships and the captains avoid those dangerous areas. Russell read Psalms 119 verse 105 to us earlier, and it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is that for us. It's always there. It illuminates when we read it. It helps us to avoid some pitfalls if we read it properly, if we take it in. You can have a Bible, but if you don't use it, it really doesn't do you any good. You can see the lighthouse if you're a ship captain, and if you ignore it, well, I see it, and just keep going, you're going to run into the dangerous rocks. And so, to me, there's a lot of similarities with this. A lot of times, they're set in exposed and very dangerous areas, along reefs, along jagged rocks and so forth, or an area that juts out along the coast that that you wouldn't necessarily know that is there. It weathers the storms. The lighthouse itself has to be a solid structure, because in those dangerous areas that suffer so many storms that are dangerous to the ships, it has to stand up. It has to weather the very storms that it's warning the ships of. In Matthew 7, verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets." And this is Jesus talking. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." A lighthouse tells you the difference between safe and unsafe waters. It shows you where the land is. And if you pay attention to it, and really pay attention to it, it can help save you and make your life a lot safer and go a lot smoother. Jesus is warning his followers, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. A signal that is giving one thing, but it's really not. Could you imagine a lighthouse that gives the signal, everything's clear, everything's good, and people just keep going on, and then they run into the jagged rocks? Jesus says, there are some false prophets that will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And we have to keep our eyes open. Like a ship's captain, the lighthouse is no good if we don't pay attention to it. It can give its warning, but if the people don't take heed, it does no good. It doesn't mean that the lighthouse is not doing its job, but if the ship captains don't pay attention to it, it does no good. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 15, he's writing to the Christians there in Corinth, and he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, I like that preface to this verse, my beloved brethren. He loves them. Us parents, friends of somebody, when we give somebody a warning, an admonition, and an encouragement, we're not just doing it to take up time. We're doing it because we love them. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, what's coming is something that is important to him. Something that's important to you. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and they started off, now sit down, I want to tell you something really important. That's what Paul's doing. He says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's coming from the Apostle Paul. And we've got to do that. Like a lighthouse, we Christians have to be steadfast, immovable. What good would that lighthouse be if they just kind of moved it around? It's there one day and it's not there one day. It's turned on one day and it's not turned on. Be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A lighthouse has to be used for its purpose. Has to be used for the purpose it's designed for. If it's not used for its purpose, it's just a pretty tower. If it's not used for the purpose that it was designed for, it's just a tall structure. We were designed, and God wants us to do His work. We were called to do His work. Jesus died to save us. We're told in Matthew 28 to go into the world and to preach the gospel, teach others, baptize them, teaching all His commandments. A lighthouse, if it's not used for its purpose, and if it doesn't fulfill that purpose, it does no good. We as Christians have to fulfill our purpose. We have to do what we were called to do. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes to his Timothy in chapter 4 and starting in verse 13, he's telling him, and it's almost like he's telling him his purpose. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. That sentence, that verse right there is a sermon all of its own. Give attention. We've got something that Timothy didn't have. We've got the completed Word of God from beginning to end. Timothy would have had portions of it. Timothy would have had some letters from Paul, portions of the Old Testament, things like that. We've got the whole thing wrapped up in one volume. He says, give attention. Don't take it lightly. To reading. To exhortation. To doctrine. There is such a thing as doctrine. You talk to people out in the world, they will say, well, doctrine for you, truth for you, might be different than truth for me. I hear that so often. I hear it so often that, oh, we're all going to the same place, we're just getting there different ways. There is such a thing as doctrine. And there's false doctrine. He goes on to say, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Focus on them. Don't let it just go in one ear and out the other. Focus on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Amen. Like a lighthouse, when it's used properly and when it's used for its purpose, it saves all of those who take heed of the purpose of the lighthouse. And they can avoid it. When we are used properly, the way God wants us to be used, and every one of us have various different abilities that some of us are better in some things than others, but we have to use them. We have to be active in our service. Not just capable. Oh, I'm capable of that. I see in sports, people will criticize somebody, say, running track. Oh, I'm faster than him. Then why aren't you out on the team? Do it. Or I can throw better than him. I can hit better. Then do it. You're not even on the team. We have to do what we were designed to do. And in doing so, we will save both ourselves and those who hear us. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, Paul is also writing to the Corinthians. He says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. If we have a talent, if we have an ability to do something, Paul happens to be talking about preaching. You can have more talents than just preaching. I wish I had the talent of preaching. You can have more talents than just preaching. Paul's saying, I've got that ability. Woe to me if I don't do it. God has given me his words. I'm not a bank that just stores it up and protects it. I have to share it. Like the lighthouse, we have to be used for the purpose that we're designed for. and that's to share the Word of God. Tugboats. They're not a big cruise ship. They're not one of those that you can go and... I've never been on a cruise. I would like to go. I've heard from people, you know, cruises, you know, you eat until you just blow up, you know. It's, you know, tugboat is not a cruise ship. It's not a little canoe that tips over easy. It's not a big barge. It's a tugboat. Not as pretty as some ships. It's got its purpose too. They age ships as they're going in and out of the harbors. You've got a big ship that might cross an entire ocean, but when it comes, gets into the harbor, it might need the help of the tugboats to kind of get into the dock. Could you imagine, you know, a big ship like that coming in to the dock going full speed and it just, you know, runs it over? They help, they aid the ships. You know, I know some of you have been in the Navy. You might have seen tugboats assisting your ship as it goes into port. They will push a ship. They'll push it along, guide it along. They'll pull it. I look at that little bitty tugboat pulling a huge ship. They're doing that. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul writes again to Timothy, he says, preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Sometimes those tugboats, they have to gently maneuver a ship. You just don't ram it. You just don't come in. I mean, if you wanted to ram it, get another big ship. These tugboats, they push it, they pull it exactly where it needs to be. Convince, rebuke, exhort. How? With all long suffering and teaching. They're smaller than the ships that they're serving, but they have great influence on the direction that they go. Christians may not be, an individual Christian may not be seen as something very important in this world. Maybe we may not be a CEO. We may not be a president of a country. But we can have great influence on people of greater stature than us. We see that in the Bible all throughout. People that were used to influence, to guide, to share, to direct the path. You look at those little tugboats directing the path of a huge aircraft carrier. They're huge. They're floating cities. But they're directing and having an influence on the direction it goes. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul's telling Timothy, let no one despise your youth. Timothy was a lot younger man. Paul was putting Timothy in charge of some very important work. And a lot of times, these people would see a young man coming in there, well, who are you? You know, you're still wet behind the ears. He says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. How? In word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You be an example to them. You influence them. A lot of people are going to discount you because of your youth. A lot of people are going to discount you because of your maybe older age. A lot of people will discount you because you're not this, or you're not that, or you're just my cousin. You're not the preacher telling me something. You're just my cousin. Family members, let no one despise you because you're a tugboat. But be the example in word. If you don't have the proper words, if you don't have the proper teachings, you might keep being example to them in the wrong way. Be the example in conduct. You can have the right words and the wrong conduct and miss the mark. Be ineffective. You can have the right words. You don't live up to it, you lose credibility. What you say might still be correct, but if you don't have the conduct, you lose the credibility. You've got to do it in love. You've got to do it in love. In spirit, in faith, and in purity. And you will be effective. You can't drag and force people. Can't drag them against their will. You can't push somebody into the doors of the church. You can't hold somebody under and get them saved in the baptistry. You can't beat them across the head with the Bible. No biblical principles are ever going to soak in beating somebody about the head and shoulders with a Bible. But like Paul wrote to Timothy, we can be inviting. We can live a life where we may not be able to push people, but we could be the example that people would want to follow. We can be the example and set the standard for a family. Not the do as I say, but not as I do type attitude. Go study your Bible, kids. I'm not going to, but you kids go do it. Study with them. Read with them. We can be that influence. We can guide them as a tugboat. We can guide and direct those big ships gently. We can't force anything. Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16, Jesus is telling his followers, he says, "You are the light of the world." The light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your lights, we're kind of coming to a close now, let your lights so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We don't see out in the middle of the desert a lot of lighthouses, but we can be a lighthouse. We can be a tugboat. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. This is the Lord talking to Samuel about David, about being anointed king. And he says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Saul was going to be out. And who would have ever thought young David, a young man, untried. But we know the story. He's going to demonstrate more than his worth. Who would have ever thought those small boats could direct those great ships? We have a choice. We're called to be this. We're called to be Christians, to let our light shine, to be influences out of love, out of gently persuading. That's our choice to do that or not. God wants us to be the best we can be. And even though we don't see a lot, I don't know if I've ever seen out in the middle of the desert a lighthouse or a tugboat. But I hope that we can put this together, use the scriptures, and as we go into this next week, hopefully we can be that light that shines, that will warn, will show people the right path. We hope that we can gently guide, direct, not force, but lead and direct things more important than ourselves. If you have need of the invitation, if you'd like to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need prayers of the congregation, we have an opportunity now. If you've been looking for a church home, we would love to have you. We are doing our best in this end of the valley, the south end of the valley here, to try to reach out to the community, to give a congregation out in this end of town. And if you'd like to worship with us, we would love to have you. If you need to repent of sins, there is no better time than right now. Not wait till tomorrow, right now. If there's anything that you need that we could assist you with, please come forward while Daryl leads us in the invitation. Let us stand.